Okay, great. I'm Michael McKenzie. I'm an alcoholic. Hello. I'm also a drug addict. I suffer from conditions that I've attended many 12-step programs for. I've been an active member of Codependence Anonymous since 1987 or so. I've been active in Al-Anon since the early 80s, middle 80s, and I'm qualified to go to a lot of 12-step programs that I don't go to because the list is too long. I do most of my work out of the big book one-on-one with people and have found that that process deals with everything that's wrong in my life. So thanks for asking me. I don't know who's responsible for it, but Suzanne was the one who was contacting me. I guess you asked me. Thank you very much for inviting me here. It's always an honor and a privilege to share at a meeting where people are recovering using the 12 steps and the big book especially. I like to start any time I share by inviting this power that I have this relationship with that I found here through this process and doing this work to come and be here with me and to guide me, to show me, to lead me to what needs to be said so it can be most productive. I do that primarily because I know that what you hear and what I say have very little to do with each other. And then in order for anything productive to happen, there has to be a presence of this power involved. So I also invite you to do that. If you have a relationship with a power that you found here or anywhere else, I invite you to ask that that power be here with us so that our time can be productive, so that we can communicate at the realm of the spirit and the amazing miracles that happen in these interactions can take place. This has very little to do with me and everything to do with this power in my life. All right. So you know who I am as much as I can. 20 minutes, I'm going to spend a lot of time telling a lot of stories. My sobriety date's November 18th, 1986. I've been a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous since then. I finished my first set of amends out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1987. I've been actively working the 12-step program in various levels of competency and success since then. I have a very wide story. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about exactly. I try to trust that I'll be led where it goes. I have a topic. Yeah, I'm going to read out the big book, right? I'm supposed to read something out of the big book and share on it. So I opened the big book up this morning. My life is in unusual turmoil at the moment. I'm facing really difficult circumstances around me right now. And I don't know why I ended up at this page, but I did. So page 70, the first full paragraph, I wanted to read this. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we're going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but it's only half truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we're sorry for what we've done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we'll be forgiven and we will have learned our lesson. If you're not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we're quite sure to drink. We're not theorizing. These are facts out of our experience. Don't know exactly why I ended up there today, but it is a theme in my sobriety. I've and in my recovery from all of these various things that I've been recovering from, that I stumble and fall short, right? This happens. I don't always stay up to the level of what I decided I was going to do. I almost never do. I often decide what I need to do in order to be okay, and I set out to do that. I use these tools that I got in AA and from the big book to try to be a better person and do the right thing. And I'm often not able to pull that off anymore. Oh, this is noisy. Anyway, I'm often not able to pull that off I'm usually not able to pull that off because I often attempt first to do it under my own power rather than relying on God. My nature is to go back to self-reliance in order to try to make myself be a better person. That often causes more trouble. It always causes more trouble. And I end up having to surrender back to God's will at some point. My sobriety has been a continuous flow of that, a kind of cycle through those various circumstances and situations. I've found that the times that I'm doing well and things are kind of going well for me are not the important parts of, as I don't really find out where I'm at until things are not going my way, right? And I've been at this for a while, so there's been a lot of periods of time where things weren't going my way. I've been married and divorced. I've had businesses and failed. I've had trouble. You know, I've raised two children. I'm in a relationship now. I've been married for 25 years. I have two grown children. All that happened sober. It's my second marriage in sobriety. So I was married and divorced and I've pretty much had everything, every kind of failure you can possibly have in life has happened in the last 34 years because I've been here growing up as a human being and going through all of these things. And most of those failures have been of my own making. I'd say all of them have been my own making. Like my problems are always of my own making. There are problems in the world that aren't of my making, but they're not my problem, right? Every problem that's my problem is of my own making. There are things wrong in the world, but they're not my problem, right? If I didn't make them, they're not my problem. And the book told me that this problems are of my own making, right? And so this also talks about us and our motives, right? My motives are important, right? Like what I'm trying to accomplish in the world, what I'm trying to do. It's not really that important how well I pull it off. Luckily, because I'm horrible at this, I'm really, really bad at living on a spiritual basis. Right? Like I've proven myself to be incredibly ineffective at that. I constantly end up back in a place of God is nothing in my life, even though I decided to live in a place of God is everything. Right? This part of the book is a inventory instruction. It's talking about sex inventory, but really for me, it's conduct inventory, right? I write this kind of inventory about all kinds of conduct, not just sexual conduct. And it has to do with when I acted badly, right? This is about my bad behavior in the world. And I do not want to give the impression to anybody that I've been lacking in bad behavior in the last 34 years. I've had a lot of bad behavior of various kinds over the years. And I've been able to recover and continue to progress spiritually, primarily, I believe, because I've been able to face those things and face the truth about myself. And often, when I'm lying to myself about, whenever I'm lying to myself about things about me that I don't like, that's when I'm cut off from God. Right? The part of my consciousness that connects to God, the part of my consciousness that connects to the spirit of the universe, that has the power to heal me and create a life for me that works, that part of me is also the part of me that accepts the truth about who I am, right? If I'm lying to myself about who I am, I'm cut off from God. And I could spend many hours and have spent many hours talking about that particular trait of consciousness. And if you'd like to talk more about it, I'd be happy to go in depth with you at some time. In a 20-minute talk, I can't really get to why that is, but it's certainly true. I know it's true. And I've found it to be true for many people. As we hide from the truth about ourselves, we cut ourselves off from God. And that's why this inventory process is a process to face and be rid of the things that are blocking us from God. And what we look at is us and how we're playing God. And when I'm playing God, I'm doing it to keep myself safe from my own fear. I'm the power trying to keep myself safe from my own fear. And in that process, I often am convinced that denying the uncomfortable truth about myself will make my life better. And the reality is, facing that truth will make my life better as long as there is a loving God to embrace me and create a space in the universe that makes it okay for me to be who I am. And that struggle between denying the truth about me and what I've done and the harms that I cause and the things that I do and the behavior I exhibit and the failure that I am at trying to manage my own life and be a good person, right? Most of the time I'm trying to make things work. Not always. Sometimes I get frustrated. I'm trying to hurt people. But most of the time when I really hurt people, I'm trying to do good things. I'm trying to make life work as best I can. I'm trying to play God in an effective way for you and me. I'm trying to create circumstances and outcomes that will make everything be okay. And I am pitifully bad at that. It doesn't work. I can't create outcomes and circumstances. The harder I try to do that, the worse matters get. And the more I rely on myself, the more resentment I must have in my life. And this resentment leads to bad conduct. And this bad conduct leads me to this inventory that I'm talking about here, right? And so this opportunity to understand that seeing the truth about myself is not actually losing at life. I thought that seeing the truth about what was wrong with me was losing, right? And that winning was seeing the truth about what was wrong with you and hiding the truth about what was wrong with me as much as possible. One of the spiritual principles that has been most difficult for me to adopt in my life and has been most freeing and most important for me is the spiritual principle that me seeing what you're doing well and doing right and where you're right is where I can be of value. Me seeing where you're wrong is never helpful. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't actually create in it. And so I'm looking for where I cause trouble, right? Mainly for where I'm making the mistake of playing God. Right? I'm not looking for where my decisions and actions are wrong in the world necessarily. I'm looking for where I'm trying to run the show. The book says I'm going to clean up the mess I tried to make trying to run the show. Right? The outcomes and circumstances are not up to me. So it's not really about creating circumstances and outcomes and apologizing to people because I couldn't make things happen. It's about apologizing to people for trying to play God. Right? And unfortunately, I thought I was supposed to play God. So often when I went out and made amends, I promised to play God better. When I'd make an amend to somebody, I'd tell them from now on, I'll play God better and I'll make these things work that I could never make work before. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to do those things. So I had to make amends many times for the same things until I learned that I wasn't making amends for not creating outcomes. I was making amends for trying to create outcomes. Right? And so my amends changed. And what I was looking at in my conduct changed and how my approach to this changed. There's only one thing that's really important in my life. It's whether or not I'm playing God. If I'm playing God, my life is going to fail. And if I'm not playing God, my life is going to be okay. And the decisions that I make are not what defines my existence. People often come to me and they say, should I do A or should I do B? Right? Which thing is God's will? Right? I work with a lot of people. I spend a lot of time with a lot of people look up to me for various reasons. A lot of people think I have the answers to a bunch of shit. So they call me up and ask me questions and they ask me things like, should I take this job or that job? Should I be with this woman or this? Should I stay or should I leave? Should I move to Hawaii or whatever? Right? Like all these choices and decisions that they're making. And I won't answer those questions, almost never, right? I have to be in a really, really bad place to answer any question like that. The reality of the situation is I know that A and B will both suck miserably and lead to complete failure if you're playing God and relying on yourself and trying to solve your own fear problems. And A and B will both lead to a life that works and a good outcome if you're relying on God and trusting God with the truth about yourself. God can adjust to any bad decision I make. Right? Like as long as I'm relying on God, there are no bad paths, right? When I'm relying on myself, I have to make all the right choices, right? So one of the ways I know the difference between God's will and my will is that when I'm in my will, there's usually two choices. Sometimes there's only one, but usually there's two and they're both bad, right? That's pretty much the way my life, like if I'm running my life, there are two choices, sometimes only one, and they're all bad. Right? When I'm relying on God, there's thousands of choices and they're all good. Right? There's an infinite number of ways I can proceed and they will all lead to a life that works for me. If I'm relying on God, the details of the decision that stand in front of me are not important. What's important is who it is that's running my life. If I'm running my life while I'm making that decision, it's going to end up horribly. Doesn't matter what happens. People can walk down, a supermodel can walk down the street, offer to do anything I want, give me $10 million, and it will work out awfully. It'll be horrible if I'm relying on myself. I'm relying on God, I might be able to survive that. Probably not, but, you know, I could try. So this program has shown me that I have one condition. I have a spiritual condition. Right? All the other conditions in my life, all the other things that are going on in my life are always a reflection of that. There is no... Is that 5 minutes? Okay, good. So if my life and my spiritual condition look different at the moment, it's temporary. Right? If my life looks really good, but my spiritual condition is bad, very soon my life will look bad. If my life looks bad and my spiritual condition is good, very soon my life will look good. This is a fact for me. Like, my spiritual condition leads the way to what my life looks like. That is not intuitive for me at all. I very rarely show up to a crisis in my life thinking, what's missing is God. Right? I very rarely show up to a situation in my life and the first thought in my mind is, what's wrong here is I need to have a better relationship with God. I have a lot of thoughts about what's wrong in the world, and that's not usually the first one. Right? That's come to me over many, many years of very bitter and difficult lessons being taught over and over again. I said in the beginning I was in a difficult time, and I do want to share that. I want to share some truth and vulnerability and let you know what's going on with me. I run a business, and it's a very small business with only a couple of employees, and one of the guys who's been working for me for the last 6 or 7 years is a dear friend of mine and has become part of the family and somebody that I love and care about and is a huge part of my life, took his own life a few days ago. And I'm dealing in the aftermath of that. And I'm dealing in my life in the reshaping of my life and the revisioning of my life. Right at the moment, the vision of my life has changed, and it's changed away from what I thought it was going to look like to something else. Right, my life looks different now, looking forward, than it looked a few days ago. Last week, the way my life looked and the way my life looks today are different, and I've had to adjust to the vision of God's will in my life, right? The fact is that I'm not writing this story. I took the third step and I meant it. So when things happen in my life, I have to adjust to the reality that I no longer am the one that holds the vision of my life in front of me. I do not. And there's a lot of pain and a lot of sadness in the world. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of tragedy. I spend a lot of time. I spend a very large portion of my life working the 12 steps with people out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a very, very important part of my life. But in the last year, it's been an immense part of my life. I've been spending almost full time doing it because I could, because the circumstances of my life made it possible that I could do that. And it's been amazing and incredible. And this morning it really came home to me that I thought it was odd that I was so spiritually active, honestly. Like, things were kind of going good in my life. Why am I working so hard? Why am I doing all this? What's going on with it? Like, why am I here? Often I have those kinds of questions. Like, why am I being directed to be this way? Right? Like, why is this all happening? I ask those questions a lot. Don't get a lot of answers. There's not a lot of why answers in my day-to-day activity, right? Like, I'm the actor, I'm not the director. I don't know what the show's going to look like. I don't know why the players are doing what they're doing. I don't know why we're going where we're going. I don't know how the play ends. I don't know what the moral of the story is, and I don't get to know, and I don't care. My job is to connect to this power and follow the direction that I'm given and listen to that direction and try to clear the things out of my way that are blocking me. Try to stop playing God and start relying on God. That's my job in the world. And so I've spent all this time kind of really, really connecting and being in this incredibly deep spiritual condition for the last year or so. And now I'm challenged, right? Now there's a challenge in my life that showed up, and often that happens. God places me in a place to be okay when I need to be okay. I'm surrounded by friends. I'm completely connected. I have all of the support and love and caring around me that I could possibly want. I have a deep, rich spiritual family supporting me. And I feel in the hand and protection of God, even in a difficult time, right? My calendar's full of people to talk to. People call me several times a day, and I listen to inventory, and I do step work, and I do all this stuff. I spend a lot of time doing that. And nothing is as fulfilling and meaningful to me as that. That brings me back to what's really important here. What's really important in this world is not all the sadness and death and harm. what's really important in this world is that I can be useful and functional to help people. I can help people to find a relationship with a power greater than themselves that will solve all of their problems. I can't solve any of anyone's problems. I can't solve my problems. I can't solve anyone else's problem. But this relationship with this power can solve every problem there's ever had, that there's ever been, right? All things can be righted by relying on God. Difficult for me to know that, difficult for me to hold on to that resolve, but that's what I've learned here. So I hope that was helpful. My time is up. Please feel free to reach out. I don't know what the policies are here for sharing contact information, but if you'd like to get a hold of me, I consent for everyone to trade my contact information with everyone else. I'm always interested in being as helpful as I can be. Thank you very much.
Wow, thank you. That was fabulous.